Our first scripture reading is coming from the book of Psalm, chapter 139, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 13 through 18. And thus it reads, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it, for it was you who formed me in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts. O God, how vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Our second reading is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 through 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. The reading from the gospel this morning comes from the gospel of John, this chapter 1. Thus reads the word of God. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you?" Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise be to God indeed. My brothers and sisters, and offerings to you this day, make us bold in following. May we give more readily, love more deeply, show mercy and compassion more extravagantly, and seek justice for others courageously. Help us to walk in the steps of the one who follows. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. What a wonderful thing, the Word of God. I have experienced something that is, for me, always a wonderful thing. As I was thinking about today's message, you know, one of those things that always happens is, you know, what do you say? What do you preach about? You know, you have heard me to preach here so many times, and you probably have heard me say this so many times, coming to this pulpit and preaching the Word of God. And one of the things, you know, for me as a preacher, I love to preach. I love to use this moment to teach about the Word of God. One of the things, of course, that, you know, I might not be the greatest preacher ever, but I do love to come to this time to prepare for the sermon and to deliver a message to all of you. And it is a wonderful thing because, you know, every time I come to the passages that I'm going to be reading or the stories that I'm going to be using for the message, it just takes me to so many different places. And then of course, part of that deal is that then I have to pick and choose, you know, which one am I going to deliver to you? Which is the story that I feel is necessary at this time to bring to your attention? For you see, for me, most of all, the idea of the message has to do with how do you hear the Word of God, and how do you engage with the Word of God, and then how do we go out and live this Word of God? For you see, I'm not that interested in trying to caress your souls. That is God's work. That is the Holy Spirit's work. And I'm hoping that God is using these words to do that in your life. My desire is for you and for me to get what the Word of God is calling us to do and how this God is calling us to be in this world, so that we may indeed experience the joy of God's salvation, so that we come and experience indeed what God is seeking to do in our lives and how God is going to lead you in this world. That is what I try to do with the message. As I was reading this passage, there were, again, so many wonderful things that we can use from this passage of the gospel, which is where we're basing our sermon today. From the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Indeed, a powerful message for us this morning. Would you please pray with me? Blessed and loving God, we pray indeed that your Holy Spirit continue to speak to our hearts, Lord. We have heard your word, O God, proclaim in our hearts, Lord, through the reading of Scripture. We have heard your word, O God, in our hearts through the hymns we have sung, Lord. We have heard, O God, your word in our hearts as we have prayed together, Lord. May you continue to speak to us, O Lord, through the proclamation of this word. May you continue, Lord, to speak to our hearts, O God, that we may live according to your will, Lord, in all the things we do. Speak to us, O blessed God, Open our hearts, our minds, and our understanding to you, Lord, so that we may come to live in your will for our lives, Lord. Loving and blessed God, to you we pray in the name of Jesus, name that is above all names. Amen and amen. In the story, we find Jesus coming to Bethsaida and encountering Philip in his way, right? And as he encounters Philip in his way, he calls Philip to follow him. And then the wonderful part of the story of, you know, as Philip's then follows Jesus, somewhere along the way, Philip just got away from Jesus and went and visited with his friend Nathanael. And as he goes to visit with Nathanael, he tells Nathanael, I have found the one. I have found the anointed one. I have found the Messiah, the one that Moses spoke about, the one that the prophet spoke about, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth, he tells Nathanael. And I love Nathanael's response. I love that response. He says, basically, in sort of in common language English, as we would say today, are you kidding me? From Nazareth? Who comes from Nazareth? What? How could it be that the Messiah will come from Nazareth? And you know, the wonderful thing, of course, is that, you know, you and I, because, you know, we are, of course, people of the modern times, right? We're people of the Enlightenment. And so we will try to then argue with Brother Nathanael that there is indeed the logical thing for this, and we will try to give him explanations and reasons for this to be. And we will try to convince Brother Nathanael that, yeah, you know, from Nazareth, yeah, why not, right? Because we think, of course, that we know how to do this, and so we will try to convince Nathanael that the right answer that we have, because of course we usually think that we're right on most things. But lo and behold, Philip did not do that. Philip said, well, come and see. It is a wonderful thing. Come and see. For Nathanael, nothing good can come from Nazareth. Nazareth was a place that nobody, even very few people, knew about. Even in the first century, very few people would know about this place. Even in the time of Jesus, very few people knew what Nazareth was or where Nazareth was at the time. Now, you might think, you know, how can that be? You know, we all know what Nazareth is, and we all have seen videos of Nazareth, so we know this place very well. And of course, you know, because if we're Christians, right, and we live in the Christian world, in a Christian civilization, we have heard the story about Nazareth so often that we think that everybody knows what Nazareth is and where Nazareth was. But in the first century, you need to understand, that was not a common place to visit, and most likely, actually, there were not many people living in Nazareth to begin with. And so it's important for us to understand that for Nathanael, it's just not really possible to understand, what do you mean that the Messiah is coming from a place where poor people live, where laborers live, where people who don't have names live, where people who have no power, no position, no prestige live? How could it be that the Messiah comes from that place? I mean, he's supposed to be a son of David, right? He's supposed to come from the line of David. So he's supposed to come from some important family. How could it be that this man comes from a place that is a forgotten place, a no place? Actually, the place that was close to Nazareth in the story is the city or the town of Sepphoris. And it's important to understand that because, you see, in Sepphoris, you will have all the folks, most likely, most of the folks from Nazareth will go to work in Sepphoris. And that's why we have the story, of course, that Jesus, as his father, was a tecton, a laborer, somebody who worked in construction. So we use, of course, the expression that he was a carpenter. But the most clear understanding of this expression is that he was actually a construction worker, somebody who built things, somebody who worked really hard, who labored really hard. But that's what most of the people who were in the city, in the town of Nazareth, happened to be. People who were poor, people who didn't have much, and people who basically live in a survival mode most of the year. So this is the place where Jesus is coming from, and it most likely was a place that was a little village that may have had about 100 people, if that many. See, in the movies we see, when we watch the movies, we see a little town, and we see people running up and down, and children running up and down, and people walking, and there is a market, and people are buying and selling things in the market. I need you to grasp this, and that's it. That is most likely not how Nazareth was. So that when you grasp that understanding, then you can understand why Nathanael had a problem with this idea that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. That's why it was challenging for Nathanael to grasp that. But you see, the passages we have been reading so far, and it's interesting because the passage we read today from the Gospel of John is in what we call in the lectionary, is the lectionary in the second cycle, or cycle B in the lectionary. But for today's lectionary reading in A, B, and C, the gospel is the Gospel of John. And in the three readings that we do for today, for this Sunday, it just so happens that it is about God's revelation to the world. For indeed, we are still in the time of the Epiphany, right? In the time of God's revelation, of God's manifestation to the world. And so in this time, we find this wonderful revelation that now God is giving to Nathanael, and to Nathanael, and because of the message going to Nathanael, is also for us to receive, right? For indeed, God is revealing to Nathanael that indeed this is the Son of God and this is the Messiah. He does not come from an affluent place. He does not come from a place of power. He does not come from a place of authority and prestige and position in society. He comes from a small village where people were not known and where families had no names. This is where Jesus is coming from. This is where the Messiah is coming from. So we have come to then experience this man, Jesus, in this interesting place, coming from Nazareth, and Nathanael encountering the challenge of believing, is it possible? But we hear the words from Nathanael. He was impressed by Jesus. He was impressed by Jesus not because of what Philip said to him, not because Philip tried to present him with an incredible story about who this Jesus is, for the only thing that Philip did was come and see. And I can imagine Philip sort of, you know, holding his friend's hand and you know, pulling him along and say, oh, you need to come and see this guy because, you know, you're not going to believe me. You're right. I mean, I cannot even believe that he came from Nazareth, but you need to meet this guy because you're not going to believe this guy. And so Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus. In many ways, of course, this is also the story of us. How are we introducing Jesus to our people? How are we bringing people to meet Jesus today? What is our effort to help folks connect with whom this Jesus is? And what does Jesus brings to the world? And I have to make the connection for some of you. Some of you probably saw some of the pictures last week in the Capitol, or, well, about a week and a half ago at the Capitol. And there were some people who were marching in and have interesting signs. And one of those signs says, "Jesus is my Savior," as they were storming the Capitol building. I don't know about you. And you probably, some of you are going to disagree with me. But I have to say to you, my brothers and sisters, that is not my Jesus. That is not my Jesus. And I need you to hear that, of course, because I need you to understand that I want you to come and to show your brothers and sisters who Jesus is. And by showing who Jesus is about showing how Jesus lived and how Jesus, what Jesus taught. And by knowing and understanding what he said and how he lived is how we're called to live to follow Jesus. See, we're not called to follow Jesus by an ideal of who Jesus is supposed to be. See, that's why Philip did not try to convince Nathanael of who this Jesus was by giving him a lesson on Jesus. He said simply, "Come and see." Introduced him to Jesus. And as he came to know Jesus, he came to understand who this man is and who this man was. We don't have Jesus with us today like Nathanael had Jesus at that time. People only have you to see. People only have you as an example of Christ. People only have us as examples of who this Christ is supposed to be. And so the question that comes out of this conversation will be, so who are we showing to the world that Jesus is? What kind of Jesus are we showing to the world today? Are we showing this Jesus that we proclaim from the gospel that speaks about the fact that God has loved the lowly and the oppressed and the persecuted, and those who are nothing are the ones that God loves? Or are we seeking to present a Jesus that is committed to the powerful and the mighty and the wealthy? For you see, no place in Scripture do we find that second Jesus. We only find this Jesus that is indeed committed to the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized and those who have nothing in this life. And those are the ones that Jesus has come to bring the message of good news of God's salvation. A salvation that is offered to everyone in the world. Rich and poor, weak and strong, to everyone. But everyone has to come to live like Jesus. Everyone has to come and follow Jesus. And following Jesus is not about saying, "I believe in Jesus." Following Jesus means that I am indeed following what he did and how and what he taught. I'm following his steps. I'm following in his directions and the guides that he provides and the commandments he gave. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And that is the Jesus that Nathanael met. He came to believe and to follow this Jesus. We find that revelation of God in this Jesus. The revelation of God, that God has opened the wealth of salvation for everyone to come in and to experience the blessings of God's salvation. The salvation that comes from God, that is not a salvation that is waiting for us somewhere out there. You need to understand, this is not a salvation we're waiting for. This is a salvation that we already received, for we are God's children today. We're not God's children tomorrow. We're not God's children when we die. We are God's children today, and therefore, we are living into that salvation from God. Now, you may have a challenge with that understanding, but I need you to grasp Jesus. See, we come to be in a relationship with God through Jesus, the Messiah, because of the things He taught and the things He said and the way He lived. And because of that, we enter in a relationship with God so that we begin to experience God's salvation today, right here, right now, not tomorrow, not when we die, but at this moment in our lives, so that we can share with the world indeed that salvation has come to be among us. There was a rich donor who was visiting Calcutta, and she was visiting Mother Teresa. And this woman pulled out her checkbook and said to Mother Teresa, "How can I help you in your work?" Mother Teresa, for those of you who probably know her, she was a very interesting and simple woman. Smart, super smart, wonderful, charismatic, but just humble. She put her hands on the sister who was trying to give a donation and who was asking, "How can I help your work?" Mother Teresa just put her hands on her and her checkbook, closed her checkbook, asked the woman to put it back on her purse, and she took her by the hand and said, "Come and see." She led the woman into an impoverished barrio. A barrio is a neighborhood. Into an impoverished barrio. And found a hungry, frail child. And she said to him, "Care for her." The woman took the child in her lap, wiped her face, and fed her, transforming this woman's experience about what it means to help, what it means to touch a life in the name of Jesus. Mother Teresa was right when she said, when we care for a child, we are caring for Jesus. When we love the unloved, we are loving Jesus. We have read that passage again and again in Matthew chapter 25, when we have been told again and again what it means to follow Jesus by loving the other, by rescuing the oppressed, by freeing the ones who are in prison. That is what it means to follow Jesus, is to enter in that relationship with God that grasps you completely, that demands our complete commitment to living in the way that Jesus wants us to live, and that demands our obedience above and beyond political ideology, that demands our obedience beyond our theological opinions and ideas, about committing our lives to love the way Jesus loved us. See, there was no way for Philip to explain to Nathanael who this Jesus was. How could it be that somebody from Nazareth be the Messiah? Nathanael had to experience Jesus. And you see, you and I, we are the people that God has chosen to proclaim to the world this good news. That through Jesus we come to understand who the Father is, and that through Jesus we come to live the salvation that God has provided. It is about relationship. It is about you and I entering in a relationship with our neighbors and our neighbors' neighbors and the people around us. That's how this works. Come and see. Show the folks you meet. Show the folks that are around you. Show them Jesus. And I know that they can't see Jesus, but they can see you. And you are the one Jesus is calling to show who Jesus is to the world. Now, if you want to carry your flag and say, "My Savior is Jesus," as you storm the Capitol building, that's on you. But the one I want to follow is the one that when I say I follow Jesus, is picking up the ones who are hurting and suffering and oppressed, and showing them the love of God, and showing them the mercy of God, and showing them the compassion of our God. Because that is what God does for us. Amen.